So today again is another very technical daf. That's Meseches Beis is quite technical. So two lines down, the Gemara begins quoting from the Mishnah. It says, "Ve'ein somchines hakadera bebikas v'chein bedelas." So the Mishnah had said you can't place a kadera on top of bikas. Bikas is some type of piece of wood. Nor can you place it on top of a door. This kadera cannot be situated on top of a door. So Gemara says, "Bedelas hakadaita." Who would place a kadera on top of a door? It doesn't make any sense. So Gemara says, "Ela ema v'chein hadelas." What it means is that just like you can't place a kadera on top of a bikas, so too you cannot situate a delas on top of a bikas either. Not the kadera on top of the door. It's referring to the door or on top of the wood. You can't use it because that's an issue of muksa. And the Gemara quotes a brisa that says the same idea. Tani Rabbanan, ein somchen es hakadera bebikas. You cannot rest the kadera on top of the bikas, nor can you v'chein hadelas, nor can you place the delas on top of the bikas either. Why? L'fishlo nitnu eitim el hasaka. Wood's purpose is only for burning and not for any other use. You can't use it to rest things on top of. That's according to the Tanakhama. That's Shitas Rabbi Huda, that there is muksa. Well, Rabbi Shimon, as we know, at least if we walk away with one thing from Maseches Beis, is machlokas Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon about muksa. Rabbi Shimon's matir in that there is no muksa and therefore it's allowed. Gemara quotes further from the Mishnah. Vein manhigin es a behema b'makel b'yamtiv. You cannot lead an animal with a stick on yamtiv. Rebbe Lazar b'ru Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Lazar, the son of Rebbe Shimon, matir, he allowed one to actually lead a behema in such a way with a stick. So Gemara says, must be lema Rebbe Elazar b'ru Rebbe Shimon b'kavua svirle. It must be that Rebbe Lazar holds like his father. His father was Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Shimon doesn't hold the muksa. So it must be the son followed the father, the less le muksa. And that's why he allowed you to use this maka, this stick, in order to lead an animal on yantiv. And the Gemara says, not true. Lo. Beho afilu Rebbe Shimon mode. In this case, although in general Rebbe Shimon says muksa is not a problem, he would agree by this case of leading the animal would be an issue, but not an issue of muksa. There's no muksa according to Rebbe Shimon, but another concern, Mishum de mechse kiman de ozel lechanoga. It looks like you're leading the animal to the shuk to sell it. There's an issue of uvda dechol, whatever the category might be. Even Rebbe Shimon would agree it's a problem. So even though Rebbe Shimon thinks it would be a problem, possibly his son Rebbe Lazar thinks this would be allowed, there is no chashash. But this is not a question of muksa, the question of the appearance of uvda dechol of sorts. Gemara says further now, chizra. What's chizra? So Rashi explains chizra. If you look at Rashi around halfway down the narrow lines, Rashi says chizra is anaf eit shuchad kikot. It's a very sharp piece of wood. V'roy letako b'tzli k'min shafud v'tzlos bo. It's like a skewer, a wood you could put some meat in and to have it roast on top of a grill. It's a very sharp piece of wood, a sharp branch. So what's the status of such a piece of wood on Shabbos or Yom Tov? Is it muktzah or not? So Gemara says, Chizra Rav Nachman Aser. Rav Sheshes Shari. Rav Nachman felt that this was Aser. This would be a violation of muksa. And Rashi explains because since it's muksa and you cannot make it into a kli, it's a branch, you can't use it now as a kli. It's changing into a kli. It's a problem of muksa. Rav Sheshes felt this was not an issue of muksa. So the Gemara clarifies this machlokas and says, Britiva, when it comes to a moist piece of wood, kuliyama lo pligi da Aser. Everyone agrees it's Aser. Why? What's the purpose of wood? Wood is meant to be burnt. So now he wants to take a piece of wood. Instead of using it to fuel the fire, he's using it as a kli. So what's the status of it vis-a-vis the fuel as firewood? So if it's moist, you can't, a wet log doesn't burn well. So a wet log is certainly muksa, and everybody agrees, even though it can be fit for a skewer, it's muksa. You can't use that for your skewer. Kipligi, when do they argue? Biabasha went to dry log or dry branch where it is roi for hasak, it's roi for burning. That's where we have a machlokas. Manda asar, the one who says you can't use it. Amr lecha lo nitnu etim ela lhasaka. The purpose of wood on yantiv is only for adding to the fire, but to use as a skewer, that wasn't part of your das, therefore it's muksa. But manda shari, the one who says no, you can use a dry piece of wood as a skewer. Amr lecha mali litzlos ba mali litzlos b'ga chalaso. What's the difference whether I use this to hold the meat to roast it or use it to fuel the fire to roast it? It's the same process of roasting a piece of meat. One's creating the fire, one's holding the meat to the fire. There's no difference. Mali this, mali that, and therefore it's not muksa. That's the first man, the Amar of this machlokas of Nachman versus Rav Sheshes. Gemara then has an ikadami. Ikadami, biyabashta kolyama lo pligi deshari. If it's a dry twig, everybody agrees it's permitted. It's not muksa. You could throw it into the fire, and so you could use it as a skewer. Kipligi, when do they argue? Bir tifsa, we're talking about a wet piece of log, a wet branch, a wet log. Manda, also one who says you can't use this to roast meat. Delo chazi lasaka, because it's a wet piece of branch. It's a wet log. It's not going to burn well, and therefore it's muksa for a fire, and it's muksa for a skewer. The man, the shard, the one who says, no, you could even use a wet branch. Why? Amelacha ha-chazi lehesek gadol. If there's a huge fire, a wet log actually would work. So if I've got a small fire and put a wet log in, it's not going to burn very well. But if it's a massive fire, I throw a wet log in, the fire is so strong, so hot, and so potent, it's going to burn even a wet log. So it actually is fit for certain types of fires. And once it's fit for a fire, memeil, it's fit for even using it as a skewer. And that's the other man, the Amar. How do you paskin halacha l'maisa? Says the Gemara. Hilchasa yavash tashari retifsa aser. A dry piece of wood is mutter, and a wet piece of wood is aser. Now we need to look at Rashi and Tosi. A little bit confusing here. Rashi writes hilchasa, last seven narrow lines of Rashi. Hilchasa hach hilchasa aliba deman de isle muksa akbe. This Gemara goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds a muksa. So if it's wet, it's muksa. And if it's dry, it's not muksa. Aval, says Rashi, anan, k'rebi Shimon t'rile. We paskin alach l'maisa, says Rashi, like Rabbi Shimon, d'les be muksa. Bein be muksa, bein be davar sheino miskaven. Whether we're talking about the category of muksa, we hold of no muksa like Rabbi Shimon. We also hold, like Rabbi Shimon, davar sheino miskaven is mutter. And we hold like Rabbi Yehuda, b'machshir ochel nefesh. But in terms of muksa, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. V'chulu, therefore, sharu, bein chizra, bein tzmichas, kederos, v'akavos, chavios, medurus, v'kedero. All that we mentioned the past few days about the chizra, this sharp piece of this twig, we're resting the kederos on wood, all that is permitted because we pass in like Rabbi Shimon. V'chol ha'amorim, sh'asuas elu, all the previous discussions, whereby the Amorim asered such cases, l'mala, tamide de Rav havu, they were students of Rav, the Rav savar, like Rabbi Yehuda, b'moksa, but lamaisa we pass like Rabbi Shimon, and all those cases on and kaimel Rabbi Shimon, and therefore it's all permitted. Now Tosus takes issue with Rashi's understanding because why? If you look at Tosus Hilchasa, halfway down Tosus, after quoting Rashi, he says v'doche kulomar the Rabbi Shimon palig amai depasik hashas. When the Gemara says explicitly, Hilchasa, whatever it is, that's the Gemara paskening. So we're saying the Gemara said Hilchasa, but we don't pask like that Hilchasa. That's very hard to say that. So therefore, Yeshlomar, in this case, Afilu Rabbi Shimon, even Rabbi Shimon would agree to this Hilchasa. Meaning, in general, Rabbi Shimon does not hold a muksa. But this case, by the wet log, he agrees it is muksa. Why? The Afilu Rabbi Shimon, the Nehi de Ishle Shinino Eitim Shalala Saka, granted, he allows you to use wood for other purposes other than fire. It's only if that is roy for asaka, then you can use it for other items. Aval retiva, if it's not fit for asaka, then he would agree, ain roy lasaka, it would not be fit for other items as well. So although Rashi thinks our Gemara does not go how we paskin, Tosa says, no, our Gemara does go how we paskin, and it is consistent with the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Back inside the Gemara now, Gemara says, Darish Rava, Rava was darshaning once, Isha lo tikanes ladir ha'etzim, a woman, or a man for that matter, but a woman, I guess, would normally go to the storage house. They should not go to the wood storage house. In order to retrieve, li tol ben od, or od, or ud, what is this? Rashi should sometimes have a fork to clean out the hasaka, maybe a pitchfork. You should not go to get out, you know, certain woods, they didn't have like a metal pitchfork, but sometimes you have branches that have like a little, like the branches split. So it can be served as like a pitchfork to kind of stoke the coals in the fire. So you should not go to the deer etzim to find such a branch. The od shenishbar, and if it broke on yantif, you can't now throw it into the fire. So let's say I've got a pitchfork that I set aside from before yantif. That's allowed. That's not muks anymore. And then, but then it broke. I'm like, can't serve it in my fork anymore. Let me just throw it into the fire. That doesn't work either. The fish masikin bekalim, vein masikin bishivre kalim. You're only allowed to place kalim, which are not muksa, into the fire. But broken kalim that broke on yantif itself, that would be muksa, and you cannot throw into the fire. So that's the din. So Gemara says, lemeimer, is this to suggest that Rava, who is the author of this drasha, this statement, lemeimra, the Rava k'Rabbi Yehuda shirlei? Did he say muksa? Suddenly Rava paskins like Rabbi Yehuda that there is muksa? But we have a statement of Rava that says otherwise. V'ha amr le Rava. Rava said the Shemayat, he said to his assistant, tavi li bar avza, roast me a goose, v'shadi me'eha l'shinra, and throw the innards, the intestines and whatnot, throw it to the cats. So, wait a second, isn't that muksa, the me'eha, that's muksa? And yet he told his assistant to throw it to the cats, so it must be he doesn't hold a muksa. So, but how come if he doesn't hold a muksa, how come before he said, if you had the ov that broke on yantuf, it is muksa, and you can't throw it to the fire? So does Rava hold a muksa, or does he not hold a muksa? And the Gemara says, really, he holds a muksa. Mukhs is a problem. But the reason why he allowed you to take the me'eha of the goose and to throw it to the cats, hasam, kevin the misarchei me'esmo, since the insides of an animal was very disgusting before Yantar began, daite alavei, he already had in mind from yesterday, they wanted to use it to feed his animals, to feed the cats, and therefore, this is not in the case of mukhs. But in general, mukhs is an issue according to Rabbah. He does paskin, in fact, like Rabbi Yehuda. New Mishnah tells us now on the bottom here, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Nota, Adam Kisem Mishlafanav. A person could take a wood chip that's in front of him, and Rashi says even if it's in the Chatzir, but just Lav Dafka in front of him, he could take a Kisem, and Lachtav Boshinav to use it to clean his teeth as a toothpick. Umegabev as a Chatzir, he could also collect wood chips from his courtyard. Umalik Shekol, and he could use it to fuel the fire. Anything that's in his property, in his chatzer, is muchan. Doesn't have to be dafka in front of him, but he knows whatever's in his courtyard, he plans to, perhaps to use it for something. That's all allowed. However, Chachamim Omrim, they argue and say, no, not true. Megavev mishalafanav umalik. Only that which is in front of you is allowed, is not considered muksa. But if it's not in front of you, it's in the chatzir, that actually would not be considered muksa. Rather, would not be considered muchan. It would be muksa, according to Chachamim, and you would not be allowed to use this on Shabbos. Rashi just explains, or Yantav rather. Rashi explains around seven lines up, Chachamim Omrim mishalafanav, megavev mishalafanav umalik, aval min chatzir lo. If it's in the courtyard, you cannot use it. Why? Hoil v'dakinhein, they're very small, the wood chips. The tarech l'koshishan me'esma, it's very hard to gather them from the day before. Lav l'hachi kaimer, they're not meant for adding to my fire. A big log I'll throw to my fire. Small wood chips, they don't add much. For me to collect every wood chip in the yard, it's a big deal, it's a big tircha, and therefore it was not in my das, according to Chachamim, where Rabbi Elazar felt everything that's in the chatzer is considered muchan. So that's the machlokas, Rabbi Elazar versus Chachamim. The Mishnah finishes off now telling us, Ein motin es ha'or, you cannot create fire on Yontif. We'll see on Amid Beis because of the issue of molid. I got this question a number of times over Yontif. If a person's fire went out, could you ask a goy to turn it on? So the answer is you're allowed to because creating a fire has two issues. One is havara. Havara is allowed on Yontif, but molid's not. But to create a new fire, you can't create a new fire. That molid is an iser midirabanan. But since it's an iser midirabanan, and if it's tzarach Yontif, you can have a goy turn on a fire. Shvus the v'vaka mitzvah, you can have them turn on the fire on Yontif. So this is the Mishnah says, ein motin et ha'or, you cannot create fire, lo min ha'etim, you can't use wood to create a new fire, lo min ha'avanim, you can't rub rocks together to create a new fire, lo min ha'ofer, or using dirt, lo min ha'ra'ofim. How do they define ra'ofim, by the way, in English? Does anyone have an article here? Ra'ofim, this is the word ra'ofim, like pottery, maybe? Yes, tiles. I don't know. Rashi explained how they did the process. I don't understand the process here, but somehow using tiles to create a spark, to create a fire. Okay, so it got hot enough to create a fire. Vlomina mayim, you can't use water either to somehow generate fire. Don't know how that works, but Rashi again explained some of these things. You put water in glass, and somehow with the sun, you could create fire, fine. And then, so that you can't create, no matter how you're creating a fire, the us is to be molded fire from the beginning. Yeah, exactly. They malabin et sarafim, the tzalsbem, you cannot fire up the pottery either, the tile either, in order to roast things. Fine. So this is all bechlal the issue of molid creating new fires. However you create the fire, it will be iser of molid. So Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, going on to Amar Beis now, Ochle behema, food that's designated, that's reserved for animals, ein behem mishum tikun kli. If I were to fashion them as a kli, so Rashi explains, that's not a problem. Rashi says on the top here, Ochle behema, could go on kash of alikanim, a straw or other types of leaves, ein behem mishum tikun kli. If I were to use them and fashion them into a, let's say, into a toothpick, that's not a problem. Umutter liktom, I could cut them and slice them. Ulesaken kash shel shibalim b'shabbos lachtos shinav. I could take a long piece of straw and cut them into small pieces to use as a toothpick. That's completely allowed. The reason why is because since it's roi for behema, it's not considered muksa, and making it to a kli is not really creating anything new. So that's what the Gemara says. So now the Gemara asks the following question. Is that really true? You can make ochle behema, food for animals, into a kli. That's not a problem. Eisevei Rav Kana Rav Yehuda. Metaltlin atzei besamim la riachabem. You're allowed to move besamim. Besamim are not muksa. You could smell them on Shabbat at Yom Tov. That's allowed. Ulanif bem l'chol, and you could kind of wave them in front of a chola to wake him up. That's also allowed. That's not muksa. Umola, memory mola, we discussed. You could rub them in your hands like that and create smell. Umei riachbo, that's allowed too. But don't cut them off. Don't snip the end to produce more smell. That you can't do. La riachbo, vim katma, if you do cut it to create more smell, that'd be pater val aser. However, lachzos boshinav, to make a toothpick out of it, lo yikmenu, one should not cut the straw to create a toothpick, and if one does so, v'im katno, chayv chatas. So we said before, lichachila, you're allowed to. Ochli behema is not bichlal tikkun kli. Now this brisa says it is mishum tikkun kli. The Gemara just kind of says it's a bit of a jump now. Amar lei, hashta, patev al aser, kakashile. Chayv chatas mi bayim. In other words, there's a jump. We just said mutter. One worse than mutter is patev al aser. We just jumped from it's mutter to make a toothpick to being chayv chatas. That's like a huge jump. So something is off, the Gemara is saying. There must be some explanation, because it's too extreme to make sense. So what's going on here? So Gemara says, must be Ella, kitanya hi, when we said in the Braisa that there's a chiv chatas to make a toothpick, ha hi bekushin, that cushion when they're very hard. Making a hard, which is hard to cut, that's where it's subject to making a tikkun kli, that's where it's a problem. It's not roi for Michael Behema, it's inedible. So you're taking something which is a nothing, which is worthless, and making it to a kli, that's a problem. But if it was a rach and it was soft and moist and it was fit for animals, and now to fashion that into a kli, that's mutter, because it was not muksa before, it had a purpose, has a purpose now, and therefore the difference is a rachin versus kashin. Or it says, wait a second. If you're telling me that this brisa that it says is a chiv chatas to make a toothpick is kashin, so then the whole brisa doesn't make any sense. Kashin b'nei melila ninu? That same brisa says, don't take straw and rub them. If it's too hard, the rubbing actually won't work. It has to be soft to generate some type of smell. If it's kashin, it won't work. So there's something seems to be missing in this brisa. So Gemara says, you're right. The brisa is missing something. The chasur mechsra. And it says, should say as follows. It should read, v'achi katani. Mola mariach bo, you're allowed to rub the fragrance and create the aroma. Kotma mariach bo, you could cut it and also smell it. Bamed v'amamur, when is this all true? Birachin, when they're soft, that's when this is all allowed. Avabakashin, if the stems are very hard and they're not roi lebehema, loik temene, one should not cut them off. Vim cut them off, if you do, you're pataval aser. And lachzos baoshinav, if you want to make a toothpick out of it, then loik temene, one should not cut it. Vim katmo, chayv chata. So now the brisa reads very nicely. If it's soft, it's permitted, it's mutter chachila, and if it's hard, it's a chiv chatas to create a toothpick. Gemara now presents a machlokas in the brises. Tanacha, the one brisa says, kot mo mariach bo, you're allowed to lichachila, cut it and smell it. And Tani Idach, another brisa says, loik temene lariach bo, one should not cut it to smell it. So can you cut off the stems to smell or not? So Amar Rebbe Zeira, Amar Rav Chista, lokasha, habarachin, habakashin. If they're rachin, if they're soft, you can lichachila, cut it to smell it. If they're hard and they're not roi for behema, you may not cut them to smell it. So now the Gemara asks the question, maskivla Rav Acha, bar Yaakov, bakashin amailo. So why can I cut a hard piece of shaw, hard pieces of whatever it is? What's wrong with that? Maishnai, why is that any different? Mehar Ditzan, the Mishnah that tells us in Masechah Shabbos, if you have a pot, shover ad mesach chavis, you could cut and break open a chavis, a jar of some sort with food, lechem imenu, gross. If you have figs or whatever's inside, you could open packages on Shabbos. Yeah, there's different ways how to open them, but generally speaking, you could open up packages. You could open up jars and jugs. You could cut it open. Uvilvad, so long as shaloyis kavin lasos kli, as long as you don't intend to make a kli, which means, just simply speaking, that if I have a jar here, let's say a bag of potato chips, I open it up, I'm allowed to, but don't open it up where I could use the container. Open up where you tear it entirely, where there's no kli anymore, that's allowed. So if I can rip open a potato chip bag, forgetting all the issues of cutting letters, I should be able to rip cushion as well to make a little toothpicks. What's the difference? Moreover, asks the Gemara, Harava bar Rava Ada, Rabin bar Rava Ada, the Amri Tavaya, both of them hold, they were brothers, they said, Ki Avin and Bei Rav Yehuda, when we were in the house of Yehuda, have a mafshich v'yavlan alusa alusa, they'd give out pieces of wood that smells certain types of besamim, v'yaf agav the chaz yulak, so the nar gave a chatzina, even though they were fit for being like a handle of an axe of some sort, but since they were hard, they were you able to like kind of crack them and break them to smell. So that, in other words, they took besamim that were kushin, and they broke them up in pieces, and you're able to smell them. So why can't you cut the kushin we discussed above? Something seems to be different here. So Gemara says, not a problem. Lo kashya ha Rebbe Eliezer harabon. Yes, one brisa says you cannot cut kushin, and one brisa says that you may. So what's the difference? Gemara says, it depends, machlokas Rebbe Eliezer rabbanim, as follows. Detani, the brisa says, Rebbe Eliezer omer notel adam kisem mishilafanav lachtos boshinav. You could take, if there's a wood chip in front of you, you could take it to use as a toothpick. The chacham omer lo yitol ela me'avos shabahema. You should only take it if it's in the little trough of the animals, which means it was designated for food for them. But if it's not designated for food, you're not allowed to. So that's one piece. V'shav, and they both agree, shloik temenu, you should not cut it, though. If it's just there, using it as is in the raw state, fine. But to start cutting it in size, that one should not do. Vim katmo, if you do cut it, lach says boshinov, in order to use as a toothpick. Or liftoch bosatel, so to pick the lock, b'shogig b'shabbos, accidentally on Shabbos, yechayv chatas according to Rebbe Elazar, chayv chatas b'mezid, chayv chatas b'shogig, b'mezid b'yamtiv sofik es harbam divi Rebbe Elazar, b'chacham omrim, they say, no, if one does so, it's no chayv chatas, rather, echadzev, echadzev, whether Shabbos yamtiv, eino ela mishim shvus, it's only a shvus. So again, to create a toothpick on Shabbos, a yamtiv, Rebbe Elazar thinks it's a real deraisa, and chacham hold it's only nisir midirban, only nisir shvus. So now the Gemara explains that Rebbe Elazar, the Kamar Halsim Chayv Chatas, over there, where he says you're creating a toothpick, there's a Chayv Chatas. Hacha here, it'd be, in order not to create, remember, we're cutting for two reasons. We're cutting to create a toothpick, or you're cutting to create the smell. So our discussion above is the create the smell, that's not making a kli. Everybody agrees that's not a Chayv Chatas. To make a toothpick might be a kli, but to make just a create smell, that definitely is not a Chayv Chatas. So Gemara says it depends. If making a kli is a chiv chatas, making it into a toothpick is a chiv chatas, then making it to smell, cutting it to smell, would only be an iser midirabana. It drops down a level. So again, according to Rabbi Eliezer the Kamar Hasim, he says, by making a toothpick, it's chiv chatas. Hacha, by cutting it to smell, would be patev al aser as a gzera, the siyog, lest you cut it to make a toothpick. But Rabbanan, the Kamir Hasam, whereby making a toothpick is only a pater val aser, hacha, when you're cutting it only for the purpose of smelling it, would be mutter lichachila. And therefore, that's how we explain the steer above, that the Brice that says you're allowed to cut lichachila, that's chachamim. The Brice that says you may not cut, that's according to Rabbi Eliezer. So now the Gemara says, Velesle le Rabbi Eliezer, does he not hold haditzan shover adam es achavis lechom imenu grogos, bevach lois kabin lasos kli? So according to him, you cannot cut a hard piece of besamim to smell it. So if that's the case, how does he explain the Mishnah, who says you can break open a chavis? Isn't that the same thing of breaking over kashrut? What's the difference? And the Gemara says, it's very important, this is like the heter of opening packages on Shabbos, Amar Rav Ashi, Kitan Yahi, B'mustaki. What's mustaki? So Rav Ashi explained that the broken shards of pottery they put together, I mean, it wasn't really a kli. If you had a kli that was fully intact, it was a strong piece of metal, or pottery that was made of one piece, that would be a problem. But mustaki, where you kind of like recycle the broken shards of pottery, put together, it was very weak, and therefore breaking it is not a big deal. So to any package we have that's considered mustaki, is also you could break on Shabbos, which means if you have a plastic bag and a potato chip bag, that they call mustaki. It's not strong, it's not durable. It can last for a while on the shelf, of course, but you just pop it open, you cut a hole in it, that's a nothing, and therefore mustaki, it's a big discussion what is considered mustaki, but this is the heter of opening packages, that would not be a problem of breaking things on Shabbos. Now, before we go right here, fascinating toast there. I don't want to get involved of take care, enjoy the trip. I want to get involved in how Tosis gets this point here. But Tosis, in essence, asks the question after talking about smell. He says, wait a second. How come there's a halacha? We know that when Matzah Shabbos, we smell b'samim. We say bracha b'samim. But how come Matzah Yantav, we don't have a bracha b'samim? What's the difference? So he gives a couple answers. So look at Tosis, the last six lines of Tosis. He says, V'yei shlomar, d'li olam taima d'mavarchina b'samim. The reason why there's b'samim Matzah Shabbos, v'shim nisham yaseira, we give it nisham yaseira, and we lose the nisham yaseira, so in order to kind of wake us up from that big loss, we smell it. As opposed to Yom Tif, where there is no nisham yaseira, there is no need for b'samim. That's his answer. Now, the Kedusha Levi argues and says, no, what do you mean? Of course it's nisham yaseira, based on Ramban and Pesachim. Of course you get nisham yaseira on Yom Tif. But he said, we don't lose the nisham yaseira on Yom Tif. Kedusha Levi explains as follows. Nisham yaseira of Shabbos comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a gift. Okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us, and he takes it away. But because Shabbos is the Kedusha V'kayma. But Yom Tov, where we create the Kedusha, so we create the Nesham Yaseva. We worked on it, we earned it, so we get a Nesham Yaseva on Yom Tov, but we don't lose that Nesham Yaseva. It stays with us forever, and therefore there's no need for Besamim at all. That's what Kedusha Levi writes. Tosfos gives one more answer, and I'll tell you a fascinating shaila I saw. Then he says, wait a second, Vim Tomar, Amai lo Mevarchin, Abesamim Kishachal Yom Tov, the Yos B'matzah Shabbos. So according to this Svara, if it's Yom Tov, it's Sunday, so Shabbos, Matzah Shabbos is now Yom Tov, so we still lose the Nesham Yaseira. So according to Kedusha Levi, there's no Shaila. The reason why we don't say B'samim is because we still have the Nesham Yaseira on Yom Tov as well. But according to Tosos, who says we lose the Nesham Yaseira on Shabbos, we don't get one in Yom Tov, shouldn't we have the B'samim on Matzah Shabbos into Yom Tov? So what Tosfos answers is, came in the Yeshlo Machalim Chashuvim V'Tovim Yashuv Daito. Because since Matzah Shabbos we're having a fancy Yontav meal, that substitutes for the need of the Besamim. That's what Tosfos writes. Fascinating. So listen to this shaila I just saw last night from the Rav Zilberstein. He says that the Sefer Yisodi Shores V'Avoda, he writes, the only way to get into Shami Yisrael on Shabbos is if you go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos. And if one does not go to the mikveh Erev Shabbos, he writes, you do not get into Shami Yisera. Scary thing. Fine. So according to this, he asks the question, so that does that mean if you didn't go to the mikveh Erev Shabbos, that means you didn't get into Shami Yisera. That means you did not lose into Shami Yisera at Matzah Shabbos. That means you should not say bracha b'samim Matzah Shabbos. And you can because stam b'smelim, but you don't need to because you didn't have into Shami Yisera. So he says, how could that be? So he says, it can't be the case because many, many Gedolei Rabbanim have not gone to the mikveh every single Erev Shabbos. Are we going to say they don't have into Shami Yisera? So what he says is, it's a big chiddush of Zilberstein. He says, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that the fire works as a mikveh as well. We just can't go into the fire. He said, halach l'maisa, the smach, had the following shaila. The shaila was that there's once a Jew who went off the derech, and he came back, that the halach is he has to go through a geirus process. He has to go to the mikveh, that's what the halach is, to be part of in the fold again. So he converted back. Before he got a chance to go into the mikveh, the goyim took him away and killed him. So now the question was, do you bury him in a base kvaros of Israel or not? Is he considered a yid at this point? So Smack said that really fire is like a mikveh, and they burnt him. So when the goyim burnt him, that was a mikveh for him, and he had a full geiris, and therefore he's allowed to be buried in kivrei Yisrael, which is fascinating. The Smack says this. So it says that Reb Zilberstein, when a person learns, it's like learning he's immersed in fire, and fire is like a mikvah, and so if as long as a guy learns Erev Shabbos something, that is kilu he went to the mikvah, and he gets into Sham Yisrael. That's what Reb Zilberstein writes. If he didn't learn all Friday, then he's in big trouble. Then he didn't get into Sham Yisrael. That's his first answer, he says. The second answer, he says, no. Maybe what the Sefer Yisod Yisharash Reb Avoda meant is, if you want to get into Sham Yisrael on Erev Shabbos early, you need to go to the mikvah. If you don't go to the mikvah, then you get into Shami Seir on Shabbos itself, even without the mikvah. That's how he explains all this. Either way, fascinating. Shaila, let's finish off the Gemara now. Gemara says further now, Umegavev, last 10 lines or so of the Amud, Umegavev min hachatzer, a person could gather all the wood chips in the field. So Tanir Abanan, Megavev min hachatzer, Umalik shekomash bechatzer, Muchanu. Like we saw in the Mishnah, everything that's in the chatzer is in his mind, it's considered Muchan. Ubilvat, so long as, Shol yaset siborn siborn. You don't make piles of them. Don't make piles. You gather them, but don't make big piles. Rabbi Shimon Matir, he allowed you to make piles of the wood chips even. So what's the machlokas? But my kemiflagi. So Mar Saver Mechse de Kamachnif Lamachem. Liomacharinam. If you're gathering wood chips together on Yontif, it seems like, and make piles out of them, it seems as if you're preparing for tomorrow. The day afterwards, it looks like Hachana, and therefore the Tanakhama says Asr. However, Mar Saver Rabbi Shimon felt Kideraso Muchachazal love. No, you're making piles, and then I go ahead and start lighting the fire in Yontif for my Kedera, it's clear I'm lighting it and using it for today, not for tomorrow, and therefore there is no concern here of Mars Ayin. Then the Gemara says, Ein Motzin Es Ha'or, you cannot generate fire from water or dirt, whatever it means. Why? My time on Mishim to come Molid B'Yontif, because you're creating Molid, a new fire, which would be a problem on Yontif. And finally, let's finish off the daf here. Vein Malabin Es Ha'rafim, you cannot fire up, you cannot heat up the pieces of pottery or tile. My Kavod, why? What's wrong with this? So Amar Rabba Bar Berchan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hacha Berafim Chadash Maskin. We're talking about brand new tiles that have never been fired up before. So what's the problem? Says the Gemara until now, Daf Lam and Dal. Mipnei Shitzarech Lebadkan. You need to inspect them first. In other words, says Rashi, Im Yuchal Lekaba Levona. You don't know if the tile can take the heat. The fire is so hard, it might not work. Hilkach B'Yamtiv Lo. So don't test it out on Yamtiv if the tile could withstand the fire. Dilma Pake. Maybe the tile is going to break. Vishakach, turns out the Tarach Shalatzarch, you did a Tirach and Yantif without any purpose, meaning it was unsuccessful. You put the tile in to heat it up, the thing broke, and then nothing was accomplished, and therefore would be unnecessary work and Tircha or Yantif. That's one shot. And the second shot, and it'll stop here. Armila, others say, Mipnei Shetzarach Lechasman. What does Chasman mean? Says Rashi, you need to harden it first, meaning the tile, the first time you fire it up, is what's the gomer, the kli. It finishes the kli. And therefore, if the very first time I put it into the fire, that's the gemar kli, and therefore that's tikkun kli and yantav, and for that reason, it's a problem. So I'm not going to recap what we did today, but the mitzvah Hashem will continue tomorrow. Okay.